I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto residents head to the polls this October. In the lead up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Chris Moyes joined CGRU to discuss his decision to run for Ward 13 Toronto Centre and how the experiences as a school trustee, police officer, and small business owner prepared him to launch his campaign.
Chris Moyes, I am the Toronto Centre City Council candidate.
Mm-hmm. So when did you decide you wanted to run for City Council?
Well, let's go back a little bit. I've been a school board trustee for the last 6 years representing the community of Toronto Centre, right? And so I oversee about 34 schools here in Toronto Centre, University of Rosedale. And so I've advocated for my community for a very long time, especially around issues of equity, right? Toronto Centre has pockets of I'm going to say deep pockets of poverty, most specifically in the Regent Park and Jamestown area. And in my role as a trustee, I've always advocated for more equity, more resources in those communities based using the lens of equity. And I do believe representation matters. For me as a Black man, as a gay man, sitting at the board table, I've been able to amplify some of the concerns of my community using, you know, first person perspective, right? I recognize the importance and the value of having people like myself around the table to talk about some of these issues that, you know, would not have been brought up if I wasn't there, right? I can give you an example. For example, when I became a trustee back in 2016, one of the first things I did was, you know, have the review of the uniformed officers in our high school. And, you know, for 20 years since that was in existence, a review was never done. And when it was initially initiated, you know, it was a trustee and the superintendent deciding, you know, which schools these officers went into. And of course, they instinctively chose, you know, marginalized communities, right? With the pretext that, you know, that's where the problems lie. And so based on the review that we did, you know, back in 2016, 2017, you know, going back into the community and using a weighted system, asking, you know, Black kids and Black parents and even Black educators, what are their experiences on that? They've told us that, you know, they've been victimized, if you want to call it that, targeted by the police in the school, you know, in the sense of carding and trespass notices. Some kids told me that they didn't attend school because they felt that there wasn't a safe space for them. Some of them, you know, start using substances like, you know, marijuana just to cope if they were to attend the school. So based on the review, you know, we asked the officers not to return, right? That's just one example of the importance of someone like me being in that space to ask difficult questions and to advocate for one's community. And so for me, it's a natural progression to try to seek a seat on city council, because, you know, I've seen the good that people like me in those spaces have been able to achieve. And I'd like to amplify that, you know, in the role of city councilor, right? You know, for 22 years, I was a counselor, an addictions counselor at St. Mike's Hospital emergency. And I work with those who suffer from mental health and addiction and those who are underhoused. And so my lens in that regard is actually quite unique in that I know what the needs of the communities are because I've spoken to that segment of the community, which most people don't really talk about. You know, some of the patients that I spoke to and I worked with over the years themselves were actually born in St. Mike's Hospital. And they happened to live around the hospital, not in the house, but perhaps in the park itself or, you know, in the peripheries that, you know, we don't really, or the allies that we don't really look at, but they're members of the community nonetheless, right? And it's important when we look at community, we look at it in a holistic way, including those that, you know, that are not housed per se, right? And it's important as a society, you know, we help everyone. And I feel that that doesn't happen. One of the things I'd like to really to champion and, you know, push back a little bit when I get into council is the housing crisis that we're in. I believe that, you know, if we're able to actually address some of the housing issues, and I call it the crisis with intention, I think if we actually address the housing crisis, that will actually help so many people in so many ways. When it comes to addictions and mental health, that is a big piece. Housing should be a right, not a privilege, and that we as a society should do all that we can to make sure that people are housed. And housing can come in many forms, right? It could be supportive housing, it could be transition housing, you know, co-op, low income, and even, you know, condos, right? Because, you know, for young people like yourself, it's an important, it's a way to get into the market, right? So I think we need to look at housing in a holistic way, and not only housing, you know, in the downtown core, but housing across the city. I mean, if you look at Line 1, for example, from Union Station to Finch Avenue, we have like 80-story condos throughout the line, right? But if you look at Line 2, you know, we have, you know, 2-3-story buildings, if you want to call it that, on Line 2, right? From Kipling all the way to, like, you know, Scarborough. And why is that? Because, you know, the community who lives along Line 2 don't want to have more housing or higher density housing in their wards. And I think that is a problem, because it actually compounds the housing crisis that we're in. So if we're going to invest in transit, like, you know, the Relief Line, the Edmonton Line, you know, even the St. Clair Line, we need to, you know, make sure the density is more than it is now. So again, I could go on and on and on, but that's some of the reasons why I'm running. Also too, you know, you may not have heard that, you know, I am also a former police officer, not in Toronto, but outside the city itself. And my lens on policing is very unique, because again, I come from being a Black man, you know, a gay person, a person, you know, who's working in the healthcare field, who's been a police officer. And I know some of the inequities and the issues around policing that, you know, we need to look at in a holistic way. I think we have to reimagine policing a little bit. I think, you know, when it comes to policing, we actually, I think, put too much stock, too much responsibility in the backs of police. It's actually unfair to the police themselves. I think policing should be about enforcement and crime prevention. When it comes to the social aspect of our society that needs support, be it, again, mental health, you know, and the likes, I think we need to actually have wraparound services to help those in need. If you look at my platform, one of the things I talk about is, you know, having perhaps a non-emergency number, or maybe a 3 or 4-digit number to call, you know, when people are in crisis. And so that, you know, a non-police person can respond. I know New York have just started a program like that. And actually wasn't aware of it, because it was actually on my platform before. I realized New York wasn't doing that, but I'm happy to see that other jurisdictions are doing that. And hopefully we can start collecting data around that. But I think it's something that we need here in Toronto desperately.
With your platform, is when you mentioned affordable housing and the shelter system, I'd like to know your thoughts on the police approach toward tent encampments, what's been going on there, the increase in them coming up, like, gradually again. I know there's a few more coming up in Allen Gardens right now.
The shelter system, the way it has set up, is really a failure on our part of society. I think we have to acknowledge that, right? You know, we messed up. and I think, you know, we have to sort of reimagine and again, I think it's very important to raise taxes to actually address these things in the authentic way, right? Rather than a band-aid situation. In regards to the encampments, I mean, encampments is not housing, right? I mean, we're not doing any service to those in encampments, quite frankly, because I have seen, you know, living close to a park, you know, with tents, I can tell you that, you know, every 2 hours there's a fire truck or a paramedic in front of this the park, because people are in crisis, right? Because it's so hot in the summer that, you know, there's no airflow and people are dehydrated and needed medical care, right? Now we've seen the fires in the encampments. I think it is a safety issue, but I also believe though that we need to actually provide permanent housing for people, as I've mentioned, right? And I know perhaps the hotels was a stopgap approach, right? In the immediate, but again, that's temporary, right? It's unfair to those who are underhoused to have to live in a hotel room where there's no kitchen, right? We have families living in one room, for example, of could be up to 4, 5, 6 people. I think we need to better. Again, housing is the key. And we have to look at it again in a holistic way and put the money where needed. And the province and the federal government needs to do better, right? And as I mentioned, you know, again, supportive housing, low-income housing, co-op, and the likes. We need all sorts of housing across the city. And, you know, again, it's not just a downtown problem or downtown way looking at to resolve this. We need to actually get the entire city to address the housing crisis by building housing everywhere.
I guess, like, now shifting to two other questions that in regards to Toronto Sun, but not away, a bit away from your platform. The first one is, so Councillor Wong Tam was in Toronto Centre for quite some time. Mm-hmm. They're fairly popular, a trusted voice still right now in Ward 13 as an MP. How do you think you'll be able to earn the voters' trust?
Well, it's a good question. Again, I think it's important to remind you that I was a school board trustee for 6 years. And for the last 6 years, I've actually been on the ground, in the schools, in the community, talking to residents, right? People know who I am. And I've also worked very closely with former Councillor Wong Tam, right? Bringing resources into the schools. For example, you know, Church's Public School, for example, like, you know, we built a fence, we built the art wall along Church Street. We've revitalized the playground together. And so, you know, we've worked well together throughout. So I want to continue to do the good work that Council Wong Tam started. But on the same token, like, I want to bring my own lived experience, my own perspective on things. Council Wong Tam and I are not the same person, but, you know, our values do align. And so I'm hoping to continue to have the trust of the community in the role of counselor. One of the things I want to do also is actually have maybe create a land trust in Toronto, in the Church Wellesley corridor, in that one of the issues we have faced in the Church Wellesley area is that a lot of the land owners are actually don't have any connections to the community itself. So, I mean, you know, all the businesses, you know, will pay rent to to someone outside of the ward. But yet, you know, we don't get any of the benefits of it. And so this is why you see a lot of, and when they sell the property, you know, businesses and communities dispersed, right? So a land trust would allow allow the community to actually perhaps purchase property or purchase space so that, you know, we could actually perhaps rent it maybe at a lower cost to community. Also, too, one of the things I'm looking at is a cultural hub in the Church Wellesley community area. I know that, you know, the city is looking at making Little Jamaica a cultural hub. And I've actually attended a few meetings already with the executive director of that committee to hopefully have something like that or replicated in the Church of Wellesley corridor, because I think it is, it should be classified a cultural hub. So those are some of the outside of the box things I'm looking at in regards to protecting our community.
I'd like to know your opinion on the strong mayor system and how you will work as a counselor to maintain accountability on the mayor.
It's a good question. So the thing is, the current mayor does have the majority votes on council right now, right? So John Tory is a small C conservative, and you know, even though he may have these new powers, I don't really think that he would actually change the way he governs as of right now. So I'm not necessarily feeling anxious about that, because I think the current council would actually, or the new council would keep into account, but I don't think John Tory himself would actually change the way he governs in any radical way. But what I would be concerned about, though, is that, you know, perhaps after John Tory leaves, maybe in 2026, then the next mayor, we don't know who it may be, and they may actually abuse their power, right? You know, if Rob Ford were in power today and he had these powers, I mean, we don't know what would have happened, right? Our city would probably be turned upside down. So I am concerned about this new change. Also, to another area that is of concern too is that, you know, the mayor can now appoint not only committee heads but also department heads, right? For example, the city manager, I believe, you know, he can arbitrarily appoint a city manager, unlike before, you know, that was staff who did that, or actually was the city council appoints the city manager, but. Anyways, but so with the mayor, my concern though is that over time, those positions of appointments may become political in nature, may become political patronage. And so I'm a little wary about that, because there's no checks and balances when it comes to appointing somebody in those departments. So again, I'm not concerned about John Tory being radical, but I am concerned of others who may come after him and what damage they may be able to cause or do in the city. So that's my view on that right now.
Great. Are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
I'm looking forward to the campaign. I'm looking forward to taking on my new role if I'm fortunate enough to be elected counselor. You know, I have very deep roots in this community. You know, like I've mentioned already, like I've been a counselor at St. Mike's for 22 years prior to 2016. You know, I own a business in the community. I've lived here for, you know, 17 plus years. So, and again, I've been elected official here for the last 6 years. So like, I feel like, I'm very much connected in this community. I am this community. And I'm looking forward to really representing them at City Hall in that capacity as counselor.
Great. How can voters in Toronto Centre learn more about your campaign?
You can go to electchrismoyes.ca. My platform is on there. And also to, you know, if you want to volunteer, you know, or if you want to donate or take a sign, any of those things. And also if you want to reach out to me directly, all my contact information is there. So electchrismoyes.ca.
That was Chris Moyes, candidate for Ward 13, Toronto Centre. Toronto's municipal election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.